Joining me right now is Rabbi Michael Katz. It is the one and only Rabbi Michael Katz. He's the rabbi of Chabad of Ilovo. He's also a presenter here on Chai FM. Every Wednesday at 2 p.m. you can catch his show. It is called Judaism 101.9. And it's everything that you've ever wanted to know, and even the stuff that you're not sure you wanted to know. Right, Rabbi, how are you?
Doing good. Good and you?
All right,
with an introduction,
you.
Here I am.
All right, so if we're going to do Tisha B'Av, let's try and do it right, because maybe if we do it right, it'll be our last one.
Well, please God, last year's would have been done right, and we won't have to do this one.
Yes,
why
exactly.
Are we so pessimistic? Yeah.
Well, yeah, okay. All right, fair enough. We have been through a hell of a year. That is true.
Yeah.
All right, so Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, is actually on Sunday. It's not one of those where it's on Shabbos and we're moving it off.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Today is already the 6th of Av, so tomorrow the 7th, Shabbos is the 8th. The 9th works out on Sunday itself. And, of course, all our dates go according to the Jewish calendar.
Okay, so what happened on Tisha B'Av? What is Tisha B'Av?
Tisha B'Av, several things. Let's go back. You know, I always like to teach on our radio show on Wednesday, as you mentioned, the fact that the time that we had in the desert was kind of a blueprint. It laid the groundwork for everything that was always that was ever going to happen in Jewish history, almost. And the 8th of Av was the day that the spies returned with their bad report on Israel. Giving a bad report on Israel, the Jewish people, the majority of them, sat and cried that night. And that was the first Tisha B'Av. It was the 9th of Av in the desert. It then became a date that was that revisited us, unfortunately, with the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, and then the destruction of the second temple about 500 years later, which happened and fell out on the same day under the Romans and the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash. So it has been this sort of calamitous, memorable day in our history, and it kind of goes down as the saddest day in the Jewish calendar.
It really is. It really is, and everything seems to come from that. Okay,
correct.
So does everybody have to observe it?
Well, the point is this, you know, you could ask the same question when, God forbids, a family goes into mourning. Do all the family have to do the mourning? If we're part of the family and we're part of the Jewish people, part of our fiber, part of our beings, our DNA, is the fact that we've got to go through all the emotions. And having a period of mourning is actually good for unity. It's good for the soul. It's good for us to remember where we went wrong and what we should be doing. And it always heralds the arrival of a brighter future and a better tomorrow. And that's kind of embedded in this Tisha B'Av thinking.
Why is Tisha B'Av 3 weeks? It's very.
Why is
and,
Tisha?
And I ask you this because we are so many years after the destruction of the first, after the destruction of the second, after the Holocaust, after. And I don't even think that we realize what we lost. It's very hard to kind of pull it out.
So surely at a time like this, you know, we take our cue, of course, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who said that at a during these 3 weeks, we should spend time studying the Beit HaMikdash, studying the temple, thinking about what it was, what it should be and what it will be in the future. When Mashiach comes, we believe we're going to have a third temple that's going to be grander, better, more beautiful than the first two. And we're spending time thinking about it. And when we are distracted by the things that happen in our lives on a daily basis, gives us an opportunity perhaps to spend some time introspecting. We're not attending weddings, we're not involved in public entertainment, we're doing all of those things, and we have time perhaps to spend a little bit more time focused on that and thinking about where we should be and what we should be doing and what we are missing. Of course, it's in the long distant past, but you know, the giving of the Torah was in the long distant past, and yet each and every day we say the bracha notein haTorah. God gives it to us anew. It's as though we received it today. It's as though today the temple was destroyed, and it's as though today it's going to be rebuilt. We need to live like that. That's part of the Jewish ethic.
Amazing. Okay, so let's talk about the... just before I talk about the actual observances, you know, as you were talking about that, I was thinking that there seem to be two schools of thought. One school of thought is it's up to the Jews to become more religious within ourselves. And then there's the other school of thought where it's about outreach and about fixing the world around us. There doesn't seem to be a place where the two really cross over.
I think that there is, you know, I'm a microcosm of the world and you're a microcosm of the world. We talk about each individual as being a whole world. And how can we fix the outside if we don't fix the inside? We've got to begin with ourselves. We've got to take a long, hard look in the mirror and say, what is there about me that needs fixing? And once I've done that, perhaps then I can look at what I can do to help you. But it shouldn't be that it's an attitude of, what can I fix in you? What's wrong with you? It should rather be, let me fix something in myself and give you an example that you would follow. It's very difficult. It's very hard. And it's like quite a negative thing if I keep on pointing out faults in others. Surely my job should be to fix, well, I suppose fixing yourself is the hardest thing to do.
What I'm saying more than fixing others, like you have to do this, you have to do that. It's, you know, it's about being light unto the nations by setting an example. But we have to do that by engaging with the world, not behind the walls. It's very easy to become a tzaddik behind the walls of a yeshiva. That's the point I'm making.
Yes.
I was just trying to do it more diplomatically.
The old idea in Jewish thinking of the tzaddik in pels. The tzaddik in pels meant a tzaddik in a fur coat. You know, if you walk into a room and it's freezing cold, there are two ways of heating the place or heating up the environment, heating up the others. You can put on a fur coat and just you'll be warm. Or you can turn on a heater or light a fire and everybody will be warm. It depends on your approach. And surely we've got to warm ourselves and warm others.
Yeah, that's the idea. All right, so now we're talking the same language. I'm glad that we had that, we cleared that up. Rabbi, what are the observances?
Okay, so it's a difficult one for us, actually, because it starts on Saturday night. So actually on Saturday afternoon, probably 5:30, 5:40-ish, we go into Tisha B'Av itself. We do not show any signs of mourning whatsoever on Shabbat. So until about 6:15, when Shabbos comes out, we have no signs of mourning. But from about 5:40, we're not allowed to eat or drink anything because we're already into the day of the 9th of Av, because that's from sunset onwards. And from then, we need to fast. We fast from eating and from drinking for the 24 and a half or 25 hours that it will be. We do not wear leather shoes. We do not anoint. We don't put on creams and ointments. We sit low until midday on Sunday. We do not put on talis and tefillin for the guys in the morning of Tisha B'Av. We do that in the afternoon. It's because talis and tefillin are things of like royalty and upliftment and so on, and we refrain from those things. Then say a lot of penitential and sad prayers. We go through the Book of Lamentations on Tisha B'Av. We study things about the destruction. We say kinot, poems, hymns that were written specifically for these occasions. And if you're not up to doing all of that, well, contemplate, think about, or study what the destruction of the temple was all about and get a feeling of what we are actually missing. We also do not bathe. And we also, interestingly enough, on Saturday night, do not make Havdalah. Havdalah, the differentiation ceremony that takes place at the end of every Shabbat, is postponed until Sunday night. When it is made after the fast, because of course it's always said over a cup of wine, which we clearly cannot have on Saturday night.
Okay. So that's it. And what about breaking of the fast?
So the breaking of the fast takes, we've kind of got in our heads, and I suppose it's all over the world, but particularly in South Africa, that there's this big thing about breaking a fast. You know, breaking a fast on after Yom Kippur is like a big deal. You've got to know where you're going. You've got to be planning for it for months before. It's a very big ceremony. On Tisha B'Av, it's not really like that. We just end the fast by eating and drinking something. There's not a formal meal that is held. And we have to remember that the 9 days restrictions of meat and wine on Monday, the day after the fast, because the temple continued to burn the time of the Romans. So there were some who felt that part of the fast should be extended. We don't make people fast an extra day, but at least we stay off the meat and wine until midday on Monday.
Okay. Rabbi Michael Katz, thank you very, very much. And I wish you an easy and a meaningful fast. And may we not have to.
Please God, we'll hear about Mashiach coming beforehand, and it will be taken away from us. This is one of those festivals that we hope to dispense with in the future. Absolutely. And make it into a day of celebration.
Absolutely. Thank you very, very much. That is Rabbi Michael Katz. He is the rabbi of Chabad of Ilovo. He also does a show here called Judaism 101.9. You can catch him every Wednesday at 2 p.m.